K&M Podcast, Detroit Lions edition. Ken Brown, Mike O'Hara, Nick Roddy, as we talk Lions football. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
I said last week that would have been our last podcast for the year, but evidently I had to work today, so we're doing one more for the year.
So you're making us work, too.
I'm making you guys work, too, and we will do a playoff edition and maybe the last game, because I can't remember when the last game is. We might be back by then. But anyway, let's talk about the 13-2 Detroit Lions. Can you? I say this every week, but can you ever have imagined a 13-2 Lions team, Nick Roddy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what my expectations were for this season, but, I mean, coming off last year, there were many games that they would be favored to lose. So, I mean, it was tough being the hunted this season, and teams certainly made it tough on the Lions in particular games. But, yeah, I mean, they could finish 13-4 easily, but, I mean, 13 wins is great. They're a franchise record.
Michael, here, I know you couldn't have imagined this.
Well, I have to admit that in my preseason predictions and all that, I predicted the Lions would win the division, but I also said they'd win it with 11 wins, 11-6, 11-7, something like that. But I also didn't see all the predict that all of these teams would bunch up at the top. I mean, look at that. There's three teams there in the NFC North, or any one of them could have won the division. So I think I was right in a way, and I was wrong in a way.
I didn't see, looking back on, I guess we can do this as a year review too of what we thought to now. I didn't see as many bad teams in the league as it is. You know, usually there's a one, two teams that have two wins at this point, or one win, or, you know, like that. But there are, you're either at the top or the bottom. There's like hardly a middle, you know, a middle class in this year's NFL. You're either good or bad. That's just the way it is.
Well, that's probably why, you know, that you have what you have in the NFC North with three, you know, well, two teams that could you know, be what, 14-3, and with one down there at the bottom, which is the Bears that the Lions just dusted off yesterday.
Which is amazing, because at one time the Bears were 4-2, remember, and they were, was that 4-2 before the Hail Mary, or was that 4-2 after the Hail Mary? I believe it was 4-2, and then the Hail Mary happened, right?
I think it was, yeah.
The Hail Mary wasn't one of the two losses, I don't think. I think that from that moment on, they just went downhill, man. 4-2, and I thought they would be, you know, like you said, I thought the division would play out a little more. But you know what I did miss out on? Minnesota didn't get enough respect because of last year.
Nobody saw that.
Well, we should have, because last year
they drafted a rookie quarterback. I mean, they drafted a quarterback with their first pick. And
yeah, but we should have saw
last year the kind of Josh Dobbs and
I know that's what I'm saying. When Cousins got hurt, they were contending for the lead, and after Cousins got hurt is when they really fell apart for the rest of the year, when they were going to Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins and all those other guys. And the year before, they won 13 games. So I just think that maybe we thought too little of them when we shouldn't have. Maybe they were a good team without a quarterback last year.
Well, the steadiest team in the bunch has been the Detroit Lions. They're basically what they've been since midway through the
since 1-6, but the 2 years you can't get there the steadiest, Mike. Not enough sample size.
They are, though.
Nah, I can make a sample size. The steadiest team in the last 3 weeks is Minnesota. I'm just saying the sample size of a two and a half is not long enough to say they're the most.
Do whatever he wants.
No, he can't. He can't do it. He can't do it.
It's not 2.5. We'll have a math lesson after this.
They started 1-6, and from that point on, they've been steady. That was 2.5 years ago.
Well, right, and I'm looking back on it now.
Okay, I'm just saying that's not a big sample size. But
yes, it is.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to argue.
This is angry.
I'm not going to argue.
How could you do that?
Nevertheless, for a team that has 13 wins with two games left and might be the fifth seed, because right now, whether people know it or not, they can only finish with the first or the fifth seed. There's nothing else they can get. There's no 2-3-4. There's no 6-7. It's either 1 or 5. So the next two games will determine. And the funny part is, when we're going to get to this, Nick, I want to ask you, if Green Bay, they play Sunday against Minnesota, if Green Bay loses that game, just say Minnesota wins, the Lions game against San Francisco is meaningless to anything because you got to win the next week with Minnesota. Do you pull back the starters in that San Francisco game?
Regardless, though, isn't it?
What'd you say?
I think it's meaningless regardless of that.
No, no, no. If Minnesota win, it loses Saturday. I mean Sunday. If Minnesota loses Sunday, Detroit clinches everything by beating San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if the Lions lose to San Francisco,
right,
they can still get the one seed if they beat the Vikings, no matter what the Vikings.
That's what I said. So Monday's game means nothing.
Correct.
Right.
But that's regardless of the Vikings.
No. If the Vikings win, I mean, if the Vikings lose, Detroit can wrap everything up Monday.
Yes, but if they win.
If they win, then that game means nothing. Minnesota game means it all.
Yes.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So do you pull the starters out of the San Francisco game?
No.
Mike?
No, I don't pull them out. I might cut back on their snap count and all that, but I wouldn't pull it. I would not.
Well, let's hope Green Bay, the team that everybody says is, you know, they can win the Super Bowl this year. Let's see them actually play a good game and help the Lions out, because Seattle didn't yesterday, had that game won and didn't. That's the fourth team that Minnesota's been on the ropes with, and they somehow pull it out, these victories. And like I said, karma comes around. It's going to come due sooner or later. And I just they've been getting by with some lucky wins. I'm sorry. Yesterday, don't get me started. I'm not complaining.
I'm not complaining
because Philadelphia lucked out and lost, and that was a lucky loss for them or an unlucky loss for them. And
I don't know. I mean,
that was luck. Devontae Smith catches that ball 100 out of 101 times, and the one time he didn't catch it, it was yesterday. It was. I mean, Mike, that, me and you or Roddy could have caught that ball. That was just that short, and that it was right in his hands. Nobody on it.
I mean, Washington had 5 turnovers. How they were in that game, I don't know.
Well, they were in that game because Jalen Hurd went out. And for all our listening audience, yesterday, if you watched the Eagles-Washington Commanders game, there's a reason why you should be glad Gardner Johnson is not on your team. He just consistently runs his mouth. He got thrown out. How many times you see Mike guys get thrown out for just running their mouth? No physical stuff. I mean, you just got to really be, you know, doing something to get thrown out for verbal stuff. And not verbal stuff to the ref, just verbal stuff.
Well, you work at it, I guess.
But he was irritating last year. And when he got into that beef last time with Debo, and Dan Campbell told him, just don't get any stupid penalties. And the first or the second series of that NFC Championship game, he got a personal foul messing with Debo. I knew he was done on this team. I knew he was done, and Dan had enough of him. And now he goes to Philly. And I'm telling you right now, he'll do it again there, man. He's just be quiet. Glad he's gone. Take those blue ski masks with you. You know, he was the big ski mask guy, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I sort of recall that.
He was the perpetrator. Yeah. But let's talk about the Lions game yesterday, Ash. Yesterday, to me, was one of those games, and Roddy, you can agree with this too, that you just want to get it over with and get out without being injured. I found nothing enticing about this game. It was just like, you know, you got to clean the outhouse out. You got to do it. You just got to get it over with. You know, you just got to get it over with. You got to do it. You don't want to do it, but you got to. Mike, I couldn't even get up for this game. They were a better team. They were going to win. It was just how much aggravation in those 3 hours were you going to have to win, and they only had minor aggravation.
Well, there were some big moments in that game. The 82-yard touchdown pass and catch to Jameson Williams. I thought that was a – you know, he was so far in front of the guy that really was no drama whether he was going to make it or not. But I thought that was an interesting play. I thought just sort of the way the Lions, you know, managed their way through the game. Obviously, clearly the better team. But that was kind of I thought we were wondering how they were going to react after the loss last week, and we found out.
I mean, I'm surprised because apparently everyone else thought the Lions had the worst defense in the NFL, and they really stopped the Bears early and often.
You mean everyone
turnovers
at a certain radio station?
No, everyone nationally.
Okay, because I couldn't get past the noise of the internet station and the radio station, not ours. I couldn't get past that noise, so I don't know who else was on that train.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have hours to fill, so whatever.
Well, keep filling.
But, I mean, this is the Lions' defense. I mean, they played well all season. They had a bad game against Buffalo. I don't know. I don't know what you do. You see Buffalo's game against the Patriots. That's the kind of game you need if you're going to beat Buffalo. Now, alternatively, they lost a shootout against the Rams, so there's multiple ways to lose a game if you're like a high-powered offense like that. But I don't want to get in a track meet with Josh Allen. So, but going back 2 weeks, I mean, the defense showed up. And, I mean, for as many injuries as they've had, they played well.
That yesterday's Buffalo game, I'm glad you brought that up, showed me that they were super up for the Lions game. And I don't think they're going to ever be up for a game that way again. I just, because you saw the way they played, they just weren't up for the game. They won the game against an inferior opponent. But they weren't up like they were for that Lions game. I just think the Lions didn't match them, and that's why that happened. I don't think if they see them again, the Lions will match their intensity. I just think that was a once-in-a-season type game.
Yeah, you better hope they match their intensity, because if you see them again, it's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And they'll match that intensity, right. Exactly. Yeah. I agree with that. Now, one thing, Mike, I want to tell you about, and Roddy, defensively, did you guys, for somebody who's been out the whole season, Melifonwu got 51 snaps in yesterday and played good.
Good. That's what I was saying last week. Come on, he had a hand injury. He should be in shape.
I mean, 51 snaps and hadn't played all year? Are you serious? Is that easing you back into the game?
He's got a good memory from what he did last year.
He played good. He missed a sack in the beginning. He got one at the end, and he moved around, and they moved Branch around. I like what Aaron Glenn did, the way they moved the backfield around, the defense back. You know, how many snaps you guys think Kendall Vildor played yesterday on defense?
Surprise me.
Hopefully none.
You're hopefully right. He didn't play a snap. How many snaps you think Evan Mosley played on defense yesterday?
I don't remember seeing him.
Didn't play a snap. How many do you think David Long, the linebacker, played yesterday? Go with the flow on this. Didn't play a snap. Didn't play a snap. He is getting rid. I'm telling you, Broderick Martin of Costco didn't even get. He wasn't even active for the game. And we have to talk about that at another time. Was this a third round pick gone bad? Because if you're not even active for a game that you're missing D tackles. Doesn't that say a lot there, Mike?
I mean, it can, but it's not anything that we've been following this for 2 years now, and he is what he is. You know, maybe he'll prove out to be something, you know, next year or whatever. But it is what it is.
All right. Now, on the flip side of that, offensively, sixth-round draft pick rookie Christian Mahogany, I think he played a hell of a game yesterday. I don't know what he graded out, but stepping in for Graham Glasgow yesterday, I see some of the future linemen on his team showing up. Mike, he showed up big time yesterday's game.
Yeah, and so T.J. Lang gave him a lot of praise for the way he played, just the poise he had and the way he handled himself in his first pro start, I think.
First pro start.
Yeah.
And, Roddy, do you think you might put Graham out another week to let him get – further healing before that Minnesota game, if we have to have it?
I mean, Dan Campbell's always been pretty player friendly with injuries. I mean, if there's anything in doubt, he's sat the player, even when it's really hurt the team. So I don't know the extent of Graham Glasgow's injury, so I wouldn't be surprised if he sat another week. No.
Offensively, the team also made a little change in philosophy, kind of, not philosophy, but who the top dog is. Now, if you didn't know that Jahmyr Gibbs is the top dog on that offense, him and St. Brown, you do now. Gibbs has 17 first-half attempts. He only had, like, six in the second half. But they didn't rush the ball a lot in the second half, but they didn't have to. But what did you think of Gibbs' performance yesterday, Mike?
The way he's been since the day he got here, I think he's, top four or five of running back in the National Football League. No doubt about that in my mind.
Roddy?
I mean, I'm kind of surprised going to the post-game
kind of speech from Dan Campbell in the locker room. He gave St. Brown the game ball. I thought it was going to go to Gibbs. I mean, Gibbs really carried the load really in the
first
half.
Did he really get the game ball?
I
saw him give it to
him.
It looked like it was going to J-Mo, and then he said Brown at the last minute, and even St. Brown looked to J-Mo and like, is this yours? I don't know. I think Dan kind of messed that up. I was watching that. Didn't it look weird to you? Because he said,
yeah.
I'm going to give you this game ball, and I don't even know. I don't even have anything written down here. I'm just St. Brown. I was like.
That makes me think it was St. Brown because of like the clutch plays he did make, but. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess J-Mo could have gotten it with a long touchdown. But,
he had 143 yards.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But he also had a stupid personal foul penalty.
He did. He did. He did. And got chewed out for it and came back and scored. I would have gave it to the whole offense because I think Goff could have got it to a bunch of them could have got a game. Yeah, I guess maybe they only had one ball. They went on the road because they should have given out three or four of them.
Somebody stole the bag.
I'll tell you a couple things that are concerning to me, though. That one where they gave it to Gibbs three times to get the touchdown, that's where you miss Montgomery. And Craig Reynolds is going to have to step up. But I wasn't impressed with Craig's running yesterday. I was more impressed with Jefferson's running than Craig's running yesterday. So that's something to look at. And I looked at the sizes. They're both the same size. So if you say Craig's the bigger back, you got to put him in. Jefferson's the same size. So maybe he might get a little more run. Vaki didn't get any carries yesterday. So that's something to look at because you want to get that grinder down there in the goal line. You don't want to be wearing Gibbs out.
I don't know. If you're in a playoff game, I don't think you're giving the ball to Jamar Jefferson on the goal line. I mean, no offense to Jamar, but it's going to be Gibbs or you're going to throw the ball if Montgomery's still out.
Well, you're going to have to find somebody else, Roddy. You don't want to grind Gibbs up in a playoff run on those.
There's only so many games left.
I understand that, but you want them for all of them. Mike, don't you think you need a bigger guy? They ain't like what they used to do, Barry. They would get touchdown Tommy Bardell to get the short ones, or they would get what was that other guy's name they had, Mike? The one, Derek Moore, they would bring in. They'd always get somebody to do the little grinder work, you know. You don't want to wear your back out.
And, as much to Barry's chagrin, he liked being in there to get to grind it out, too. He liked it both. He wanted to score points.
Yeah, well, I understand you want it, but – we got to get a bigger back. And Montgomery might even be back by playoff time. So maybe we're talking something that doesn't even matter, you know, because, damn, think about it. He's off 1 week. You got two more weeks of season. And if you get to buy this 3 weeks, the playoffs won't start for a month. So, you know, he could be back by the end.
Could.
Yeah. Anything else you guys see in yesterday's game encouraging or something that needs to be taken a look at?
I mean, go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead.
I thought two guys in the secondary really stood out. One was Brian Branch, but what a 12
tackles, I think.
12 tackles, yeah, and eight of them were solos. And I think Malik Robertson had a really showed out too. I thought he was all over the place, and I thought he really, took care of his space there.
He was strong on the outside. They moved him outside a lot yesterday. He was strong on the outside. I'll tell you one thing. If we ever need a wide receiver, I would sign. Keenan Allen kills us every time. And we might have to have him join us because it seems like every time he sees Detroit, when he was in San Diego last year, every game this year with Chicago, he's a good player, man.
I mean, that's kind of going to what I was going to say about things I took away from the game is it was a bad thing. I mean, you score a touchdown on that long drive. You're up 20. You're kicking the ball off under a minute left to Chicago. And this is at the end of the first half. And they go down three plays, 70 yards and a touchdown in 19 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
I guess
bad.
The better team, that's game changing because you're going from up 20 to up 13 into halftime. I know you get the ball to start the second half and they scored a touchdown immediately, but I mean, when you're in a playoff game like that, you lock up the last 2 minutes of a half.
Yeah, you're right. And that's a rookie mistake on Terrion Arnold because
he jumped,
tried to jump the thing, and just let the guy have the 5-yard catch. You're not going to – you just don't want anything going behind you. And when he jumped it, Allen put that move on him, and Fontu was slow – Melifano was slow getting over to him. And it was a touchdown. Like you said, that's something you cannot have, and I'm sure he's going to be trained on that Because besides that, Terranato played another good game. And I know Roddy doesn't think much of him as we go back to the old tapes. But I think he's playing some damn good ball. And that was his one mistake yesterday. But it, like you said, it cost him a touchdown. In a real game, that might be important. What'd you think about going for the fourth down, third and fourth down at the goal line instead of going for the field goal to take them up 20 instead of 17? That was at like the 12:40 mark of the fourth quarter. Do you have a problem with that?
No. I mean, I was kind of surprised that they kicked field goals early in the game, I'll be honest. I mean, they got down there in the first drive of the game and kicked a field goal. I was surprised they didn't go for it there. I don't know if that's a little Dan Campbell reevaluating something from the Buffalo game or not, but no, I have no issues with their decision making on fourth down. He's earned his he's earned the ability to make the decision.
I got a problem with the play calling. I think you should have ran at least one of those two plays, or maybe both of them. You only had 3 yards. It was like a third and three from like the 7 or 8 or something like that. And then you ended up throwing two passes incomplete. That's another one Montgomery's gone. Montgomery's in the game, you grind that first down out. And that, you know, so that's where you're missing them. You got to get them.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, how many times on third and 6 or 3rd and 8 have they run a draw with Jahmyr Gibbs? I mean, that's probably one of Ben Johnson's favorite calls. So I don't think it's a Montgomery thing where they run the ball for first downs on third downs. I mean, they do it with Gibbs all the time.
Yeah, but 3rd and 3, when you get like that in short, that's Montgomery territory. You know, he definitely gets that ball in, and he gets you 3 or 4 yards on one of those two carries. That's just a little something right there. Do you have a problem with it, Mike?
No, not really. That's, you know, I'm going to not be surprised by anything they do or don't do.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's the wrap-up of Chicago, which to me was their toughest game left on the schedule because it really didn't turn out to be as cold as I thought it was going to be, right? I talked to somebody. They said the weather was in the 30s. So that was not bad. It was a little not too windy. It was a good day for Jared Goff. No turnovers. Good play. So that was a tough – to me, tough sled. And I don't know what the weather is going to be like in Frisco next Monday. Unless it's raining, it can't be any worse than what they did yesterday. So this is the time to go ahead and, you know, put the nail in the coffin, get that number one seed. You can smell it. You can see it. It's time to do it.
I'm with you on that. Sooner the better.
Roddy, you think there'll be some reinforcements coming back this week? Rumors are that Germ, which is Reese Maben and Anzalone, and also the
Rakestraw
is one more too that might be getting their window open this week. Oh no, what's the name? His window can't open this week, can he? The kick, Khalif Raymond. He's got another week, right? I think he's this is his third week being off, so he's got one more week. Yeah, but if you get those guys' windows going. Because inactive also yesterday was Quan Alexander and the defensive lineman they got from the Los Angeles
John
Rams.
Williams.
He was also inactive, which means those guys are close to being off the roster when young guys, you know, when the guys come back. They're getting stronger. The only positions they're going to be really missing as of now going into playoffs are the tackle, Hutchinson, and Davis. And I think they're deep enough in the D backfield to make up for Davis's loss. So I think they're trending up going toward the playoffs.
Well, I think so too, but still looking for a pass rusher, I think.
Well, you ain't going to find one now. If you ain't got one now, you ain't going to, unless Roddy, you're going to suit up and get out there. I don't think you're going to find a pass rusher because you've beaten every bush in the league the last 6 weeks. I'm going to tell you another thing too. I want to see a little more out of Mrs. Zadarius Smith. Started out good the first 3 games. I'm looking on the milk carton for him the last couple of games.
I mean, you're facing quarterbacks that don't – I mean, you don't really want to let escape.
No, that's true. That's true. But also –
Caleb Williams and Josh Allen. I know Caleb's been sacked 60 times this season, so there's really no excuse not to – I mean, it's not like he hasn't been sacked much, but, I mean, it's hard to bring Josh Allen down.
No, I know. I'm just saying you heard Zadarius' name a lot the first few weeks, and I just haven't heard it the last couple. But I want to see him get back on his on his case. Yeah. And like I said, we got two games left to do it. He's an older player, too, and I always worry about the wear and tear on guys when it gets toward the end of the season. That's why, you know, younger players like Muhammad and guys like that, man, those guys are coming on, man. Muhammad made a couple more plays yesterday. In the right roles, these guys, you know, can do things. I looked at Cleveland. James Houston was active yesterday, Mike. I didn't see the stats page yet. James Houston was active for Cleveland yesterday. His first game since they picked him up. I'm just keeping an eye out because everybody wants to know why did you cut James Houston? He was active at least. He didn't have a stat, but he was active. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Well, I think that qualifies as inactively active.
Yeah. All right, so it's San Francisco this week. If you guys want to pick, you can. It's early in the week since we're not doing a podcast Friday. Prediction for this Friday, Monday night's game, which is a long time.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't remember this being a Monday on the schedule. I mean, I assume it's been that way the whole year, but
yeah, it's been that way.
It wasn't flexed, was it? I mean,
no.
Maybe just because it lost its juice because San Francisco hasn't been very good.
I think that's what happened. But I think when the Monday night schedule came out, when they did it on ESPN at the beginning, this was a big game. The rematch of the NFC Championship game will be Monday, the last Monday, not the last Monday. Maybe that is. Is that the last Monday night game of the year? Because they don't have one next week. And I'm going to tell you right now, Green Bay, do something, win that game, because I do not want that Lions game flexed next week. I want the season to be over at 4 o'clock that Sunday. I don't want to be 8, 11 o'clock at night playing a game, you know, for everything. Just get it over with this week. I hate that flex last game.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
I'm trying to think of something appropriately.
No, appropriately. You have nothing to say. If you want a prediction, Mike, on the game this week, San Francisco-Detroit, the rematch, will Campbell go all out in this game if it means nothing? Is this a revenge game? Is this a game where Campbell goes back and shows him what we should have done last year?
No, I'm thinking this will be a playing to win regardless of you know, at some level, in other words, but at some level. And I like, you know, I like the Lions in this game, 31-10.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I was almost right on the number last week.
So was I.
Yesterday's game.
So was I.
Well, we were all pretty close last.
Yeah, we were all close. Mike cheated. Yeah, what do you think of the game on Friday, Roddy? I mean, now Friday, I keep saying Friday.
Monday. Yeah, I mean, I like the Lions. I mean, based off what I'm kind of surprised Miami took it to San Francisco like they did yesterday.
Because they didn't want us to get Calais Campbell. That's why Miami won. That's the only reason they won. So Calais Campbell have to stay another week. And really with 2 weeks left, I don't think they're going to let him go now at all. So all you Detroit people out there that thought he was going to get waived and you're going to pick him up, I think again.
Yeah. I mean, they really took it to him on the ground. So I think this really benefits kind of how the Lions want to play. And so, yeah, I like the Lions. Let's say 35-20.
I also think the Lions are going to win because I think you're going to see a lot of guys get pulled out now. You're not going to see Trent Williams play. What's the linebacker that's been playing with the broken foot? I don't think Fred Warner. I don't think they're going to play him anymore this season. You're not there eliminated. All those guys that were just hanging on by a thread. Debo is a shell of himself. They probably won't play him just because they don't want him to get hurt so they can cut him. So, you know, there's going to be a whole bunch of changes going on there, which I love to see when teams break down. They've had a 5-year run where they didn't get it done to win the championship, and I think their window closed. And they really closed in a bad division, too, which is a problem. They're out of it in a division that's not really that great, you know? I think the Rams are what, 9-6 right now? 9-6, right? Yeah, 9-6. And Seattle would have been tied with them. They lost yesterday, and you know, for San Francisco to be out right now of that division, that just shows you how far they've fallen in the last year, injury-wise and other reasons. And if Brock Purdy's any good, which we still haven't decided yet.
I think he's good.
What do you think about him, Mike?
I think he's just okay. I don't think he's anything special. I don't think – just the way he's built, I just don't think he'll ever be a dynamic quarterback.
So you don't have one of those $50 million contracts waiting for him at the end of the year?
I'd love to have one waiting for him. He just may not end up in his pocket.
All right. Well, I'm gonna take the Lions. I think the San Francisco's gonna score 20 points. I think Detroit's going to go 20 points every game from now. So I said 41-20.
41-20. 41-20.
Wow.
41-20.
Okay.
The 40s.
I just think the Lions are going to score. They can score 35 in their sleep. And really, they could have scored yesterday another touchdown. They just didn't do it. That would have been 41.
They just ran out of time.
Yeah, they just didn't, you know, and there were a couple. They were just playing the clock toward the end of the game. You know, just, you know, they were letting Chicago dink it and dunk it just so they could run time off the clock. But I got a feeling, Dan, this is going to be like that Dallas game to me. You know, and Campbell's got something to prove to a team, and I think he wants to prove something to Frisco that you guys stole one from us last year, and I'm going to put the wood on you this year. So that's what I'll see. If that happens and Green Bay wins, next Monday night will be a Hendon Hooker game for the excited fan base. Cause,
oh, boy, here we go.
A Hendon Hooker game is what we need. All right, fellas, I want you guys to have a Merry Christmas and happy holidays, and we'll team up again afterward. When we come back, we'll be talking playoffs. Hopefully we'll be talking bye week, and there won't be anything going on, and we'll just be talking about who got fired as a coach and where's Ben Johnson going. So those are things
to
look forward to.
Ben Johnson will be back in Detroit next year.
Roddy, would you like to second that prediction?
Yeah, why not?
My prediction is Ben Johnson will be back in Detroit next year to pack his bags to his next place. He'll be coming back to pack his bag because he is taking a head coaching job this year. I just can tell the way he talks and the way he's doing things, like he showed off on that play yesterday. Dan Orlovsky says he thinks he showed that play off to show him what Chicago's missing. They better open up the purse strings for him. I don't know if you believe that or not, but – I wouldn't be surprised if he took a job. Look, everybody wants to be the boss eventually.
I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a job. There's only two things he can do, take one or not take one. It's not like there's 50 choices over there.
Well, it's three choices. He can quit. He can quit the business. He can take a job, stay where he's at, or quit the business.
Mm-hmm. I'll pick quit the business. How's that?
Okay, you can do that. Anyway.
There's an opening.
That's right, an opening. All right, gentlemen, enjoy yourselves and our audience. Thank you guys for listening to us all year, and we hope to have another great year next year.